May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our God, our strength, and our Redeemer.
Amen.
Please be seated. Well, we definitely know that in this year, during Epiphany, it is a lot about our call. And before I get started with the gospel, I have a little paragraph that I found from Joseph Wallace Williams. And it talks about, in a way, like the fisherman attitude, or simple attitude, or childlike attitude, the attitude that we're all supposed to have. And we know that even Jesus said, if you want to enter into the kingdom of heaven, you have to be like children. In other words, being vulnerable and trusting God. The little ones have access to God because they do not attempt present themselves as anything other than small created beings, dependent on God for their existence. God resists the proud, but gives grace and strength and light to the humble. It is obvious that God's faithful people, whose lives are ordinary, obscure, laborious, are closer to the heart of the church than those who strive to be served rather than to serve. The question that confronts us all is this: how can we, who love being big, succeed in becoming one of the little ones? And it's just kind of a reminder, in Lent time, we always take time to realize our sins. Maybe this Epiphany we take time to check our attitudes, that we calm down and we're humble and we want to be vulnerable for Christ and just be like Him and be gentle and loving. I have to say, I know he's going to kill me. He can't see me. The post is in the way, but he did such a great job reading. And we know that Isaiah's prophecy got fulfilled just by the gospel reading we read today. So when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, what we need to remember is that John the Baptist was Jesus' cousin. And so that was, sad for him. That was very kind of depressing, because even though he was 100% God, and he had total obedience and faith in God, he was still a human being, 100%. And when anybody got arrested in those days especially, that was awful. So he withdrew to Galilee. And then we hear how he left Nazareth and he goes to the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali. And that was Isaiah's prophecy. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea, across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sat in darkness have seen the great light. And for those who sat in the region and the shadow of death, light has dawned. In other words, they lived without the knowledge of God. They lived without the knowledge of Christ. And then, once Christ was there, the light has shone. And that was the fulfillment. Jesus was Isaiah's fulfillment. And so, from that time, we know that Jesus started to proclaim about repentance. He continued John the Baptist's ministry of teaching and warning of the need of repentance. But Jesus adds just a little something special. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Jesus Christ is the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus was trying to let them and us know that repentance is needed. And repentance is very, very urgent. Now, repentance, we know that it's not only being sorry for our sins, or being aware of our sins, but it's change. And so John the Baptist and Jesus were constantly saying, change your ways. Get aware. Change your ways. So during that time, when he first started, he saw Andrew and Peter, and he went up to them. And it's interesting because Jesus meets us where we are, then and now. Jesus uses then and now our natural abilities, so he tells them. They were fishermen, and so he tells them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Now, if we think about it, anybody here ever fished before? Anybody? Oh, goody. Thank you. Good. Okay. Fishing takes a knack. You have to be prepared. You need things to be kind of like set out. You need to be aware of where the fish are. And you need to be gentle. Just kind of like throw out the line and then just wait. That's a lot of times the problem. Don't know how to wait. And then all of a sudden, they're coming full. We got them. And that's what Jesus wants us to be like. He wants us to get people to know him in this parish and other parishes, just anywhere. That's what Jesus' mission was, reconciliation, bringing everyone back to God. And that's what we're here. That's why we're here. So then what happens? The same scenario. He meets up with James and John, the sons of Zebedee, and they're fishermen too. And here comes the invitation. Follow me. And what did they do? Immediately, we hear that a lot, Matthew. Immediately, they left their boat, and they left their father, and they followed Jesus. And he tells them, "I am going to make you fish for people." So the ministry that Jesus had, it begins with, of course, we know, the teachings of repentance, the teachings of the love and the good news of God Almighty, to the exact opposite of what the Pharisees and the Sadducees were doing. But what they should have been doing is what Jesus does, teaches them about the good news of God, and that the ability to have access to God is easy. And the fact that God loves them and loves us is what's most important. We don't have to fear. And then he goes around, what does it say? Curing every disease and every sickness. He was miraculous, and we know this. Most of all, his mission, like I said before, was reconciliation of humankind back to God Almighty. Bringing everyone and just making a line. He wasn't about himself. Jesus was trying to draw people back to God, to point people back to God. We always hear that Jesus is a bridge, you know, from earth to heaven. And that's exactly right. Jesus is the bridge. He's our bridge. And so what we need to realize is that the call we hear so many times in the Bible is also a call and an invitation to us. Every single morning, God is inviting us to love him and to serve him. God is calling us to be his disciples, just like our brother Jesus was. He wants us to be little Jesus Christ, going around in the earth with gentleness, with truth, with energy, with forgiveness, with acceptance and patience. And that's kind of the symbol of fishermen too. What I'd like to do is I found one other little paragraph. I couldn't figure out which one I was going to use this morning, because usually I don't find them that well, but I found two this morning. So I figured I'd end with this. This one was written by Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who was a theologian. He died when he was only 39 in a concentration camp in Germany. "The followers of Christ have been called to peace. And they must not only have peace, but also make it. And to that end, they renounce all violence and tumult, In the cause of Christ, nothing is to be gained by such methods. His disciples keep the peace by choosing to endure suffering themselves rather than to inflict it on others. They maintain fellowship where others would break it off. They renounce hatred and wrong. In so doing, they overcome evil with good and establish the peace of God in the midst of a world of war and hate. Please pray. Heavenly Father, just help us to hear the words in your Holy Bible. We ask that our attitudes can resemble Jesus Christ, that we can serve you and love you as he did, and serve and love one another. And we ask this for today and for all of us. In Jesus' name we pray.